You're listening to the MoneyWeb Now podcast series with Simon Brown. Live streamed every weekday at 6:30 a.m.
Thursday, 13 March, and we got local mining production data due 11:30 this morning. I'm Simon Brown, coming at you live and loud from the MoneyWeb Global Headquarters in Johannesburg, South Africa. On the show today, Mateta Tulari from RMB. A tough budget, VAT increases, even if only 0.5%. No fuel increase, so that does help a bit. And then, of course, bracket tax. Didn't change the taxes, so bracket creep, rather. Professor Adri Schroeder, he is from University of Pretoria, Consumer Survey on Local Bank Satisfaction. It is a giant survey. It's tens of thousands of people. And then Zakona Paswayo, Standard Bank on there. They've got an AI-structured product. Get some details around that. This podcast is brought to you by StanLib Asset Management. Invest in more global opportunities through their partnership with JP Morgan Asset Management. Morning headlines from MoneyWeb. Budget 2025. More legislation ahead to help SA exit grey list. Risk expert says regulators will up the ante to act against non-compliant entities. Business Day. Growthpoint grows distribution and says it is upbeat about SA REIT sector. Distributable income increased 4.3% to 2.5 billion rand. Morning markets, US was green, S&P up 0.5%, Nasdaq 1.1% higher. Over in the east, mostly red, Sydney's down 0.33%, Tokyo is up 1.1%, Hong Kong off 0.5%, and Tencent down 0.7%. Commodities are all green. Gold futures, $2,948. Brent, $71.03. Platinum, $9.98, and palladium, $9.63. Rand is $18.34. Bitcoin, $83,700. And top 40 opening call, a red open, 90 points or 0.1% lower.
MoneyWeb Now on the money. Also available on podcast.
Turning now to Mateta Tulari. He is, of course, head FX execution at RMB. Mateta, I appreciate the early morning time. Just after the budget, the email that came into my inbox from MoneyWeb was no cuts, just taxes, which is largely a fair point at the budget. We got VAT, we got bracket creep, although no fuel levy, which will certainly help, especially the poor. There was also little or no market response. The Rand moved a few cents. The top 40 kind of carried on its track. It is no cut or taxes, but the market didn't seem to care either way, really.
Good morning, Simon. Yeah, the budget presentation, I mean, that was initially postponed in February due to the disagreement on the proposed VAT increase amongst the parties in the GNU. Now, if you look at just the revenue and tax proposals, I mean, yes, we saw VAT increasing by 0.5% this year and another one next year. There's no inflationary adjustments to personal income tax brackets and medical tax credits. And I mean, these measures, I think, will raise something like close to 28 billion in this financial year and another 14 billion in the next financial year. From a SARS perspective, and I think maybe it might make the commissioner happy there. There's 3.5 allocated to SARS this year, plus 4 billion rand over the medium term. If you look at just the spending side of it, the public sector wage agreement, that is going to cost an additional 7.3 billion. In this financial year, there's another 10 billion that has been allocated for early childhood development subsidies. You know, the health spending, which is another critical one, that's going to grow from 277 billion to about 329. The COVID social relief stress, that allocation there, that's been extended by another year. That's 35 billion allocated there. Another one that was really big in the news is the defense force and correctional services, 9.4 billion allocated there. The one other thing that keeps being mentioned is the infrastructure spend, a trillion rand allocated for public infrastructure over the next 3 years. 400 billion of that going towards transport and logistics. The issues around Transnet and also our road infrastructure.
Yeah.
And then another 200 billion rand for energy infrastructure, and then 150 billion rand for water and sanitation. But I think, you know, whilst the budget has been tabled, it is still a proposal for Parliament to vote on, when it can either pass or it can be amended or it can be rejected in a separate seating. Now, for the budget to be passed, there are a few parliamentary processes over the next few weeks that can allow parties to reach the agreement needed, you know, for the budget to become official. Given that the budget has not received the full support from the GNU, the uncertainty is still not over, and much will happen over the next few weeks. This is obviously not an ideal position, but it's also an important test for the GNU. So I think still quite a lot to unfold over the next few weeks, Simon.
Yeah, I mean, there is a long way to go. And we must remember, this is a proposed budget. It now gets debated and then voted. And I think they're 1st of April. They need to have it working. If it doesn't get passed, then we just apparently stick to last year's budget. Mateta Tulari, Head FX Execution RMB. Appreciate the early morning. That's our poll today. LinkedIn and Twitter. What are your take on the budget? Perhaps as good as we could hope. Too much tax. Certainly, Ms. Mateta is saying there. Lots of talk around growth. Let's talk around energy infrastructure, but do we see it happening at the end of the day? Have your vote, have your say, LinkedIn and Twitter. Let your money weather the storms with Stanlib Asset Management. Invest in the Stanlib Global Select Fund, a diversified all-weather equity portfolio submanaged by JP Morgan Asset Management.
MoneyWeb now on the money.
Chatting with Professor Adri Schroeder. He's head of the Industry Chair in Consumer Experience, University of Pretoria. Professor, appreciate the early morning time. Your inaugural Consumer Experience Index for Consumer Banking Industry for 2024 has just come out. Sort of at a high level, what are you looking at in terms of the banking industry locally?
Well, it is going to ultimately be a customer experience index that covers a range of South African segments and industries. Mm-hmm. Consumer banking was the first that we've tackled after we've done a very, very big proof of concept in 2023 and then implemented the first commercial measurement in 2024. That was completed towards the end of 2024. So the key here is that we don't have a proper customer experience index anywhere.
Yeah.
That aligns with, you know, the quality of the experience, the value of the experience, the actual emotional component of experience, how it relates to satisfaction, and ultimately how it relates to loyalty. So that's what we're looking at.
In other words, this is an entire sort of end-to-end customer experience. It is the entire process rather than, I think a lot might pick a little bit here and there. This is A to Z.
You know, as they say, customer experience is very much about a journey. We often talk about the customer journey, and therefore there are some causes and effects. So you will join a bank based on certain understandings and promises made and maybe what others are saying and what you read in the press. And then you start having a good experience and then something goes wrong and you then complain about it. You know, that's a storyline. And that's basically what we have, cause and effect.
Is it as simple as to say sort of which banks come out tops, or is there a lot more nuance to it?
Ultimately, what we want to do is to really serve the general, let's call it consumer and paying public, and saying this is the best bank when it comes to sort of an overall combined view. So we've measured over 5 channels, 9 different products. So it's 14 categories, very large sample, 29,000 plus type of sample. And it means that we can then announce a winner. And this particular year, which we say is unprecedented because we've never seen it, previous satisfaction index, F&B used to be on top. And this year, we've actually had to announce a shared winner between F&B and Standard Bank. So Standard Bank have surprised everybody by then catching up where F&B was leading.
And that's important. I mean, I suppose in senses, it shows that we are actually seeing improved levels coming through for Standard Bank to sort of up the charge, which is, again, it goes back to this is ultimately around customer experiences and is positive for the broader industry, but particularly for Standard Bank.
Yes, absolutely true. And what we've seen, you know, there was a notion in the past that if you're a new bank, small, then you probably will do good. And Capitec was there, but they seem to have slipped back a little bit. Whereas the big bank was seen to be, because they're big, and therefore they don't care. You're just a number. Yeah. And I think that changed. Standard Bank has shown that it is possible to rectify and address specific aspects, and FNB is strengthening some of their areas. So I think it's going to be a very interesting, let's call it race, to see how this develops in the future.
You also make a point in the note you put out. Quality alone doesn't define the experience. It is also perceived value is so hugely important. And, you know, is a tricky area because it's more difficult to measure, but it is so hugely important. What do I feel like I'm getting out? Customer experiences, emotions.
So customer experience is very much about emotions. As a matter of fact, in the German language, we have two different words for experience. The one is Erfahrung, which is the cognitive view back. It is factual, you know, it's telling what happened in the past. Whereas another word is Erlebnis, which is the lived experience. In the moment that I feel that I'm not respected, they're using bank speak, I don't understand the terminology. That emotion that you feel is what customer experience is all about. So therefore, we can actually quantify perceived value in the sense that it's not just about bank fees and money paid. It is the social, the embarrassment, sometimes the almost being angry about the fact that you're not heard and you have to tell your story over and over again.
And you said over 29,000 participants. This must have been a giant undertaking because this is not a simple, you know, give me a smiley face type of, I get them at the till point sometimes. They're nice, but this is a much more in-depth process.
Yes, yes, definitely. As I said before, we measured over five channels. Mm-hmm. So that would include things like your normal branch and ATM and so on, and nine different products. So it means that we've really gone into detail and every interview tests all the different components of the index. Mm-hmm. So it's not just a single number view, what I sometimes call a black box type of metric.
Yeah, yeah.
It is really something that is transparent. It is statistically verifiable. And that's why the university is behind this, because we can actually back it up with really rigorous and credible statistics.
We leave it there. FNB Standard Bank coming out tops. That's Professor Adrie Schroeder, Head of Industry Chair and Customer Experience at University of Pretoria. Appreciate the time. Give your money the return it wants without taking a flight with the StanLib Global Select Fund, an offshore equity fund submanaged by JP Morgan Asset Management.
MoneyWeb now on the money.
Chatting now with Sakona Posweo from Standard Bank. Sakona, appreciate the time. The Standard Bank AI participation note currently in ramp up. New structured product from the folks here at Standard Bank. First question, focusing on AI, what is the basket of shares or index being used for the product?
Good morning, Simon, and to your listeners. Thank you so much for having me this morning. So the AI participation note is actually referencing an index. Mm-hmm. The name of the index is called the S&P Kinshaw Global Artificial Intelligence Enablers Index. I know it's a mouthful. And this index seeks to measure the performance of global companies that are developing and enabling the technology, the infrastructure, and the services that are propelling the growth and functionality of the AI. So that's the index that we're using.
Okay, yeah. So the Kinshaw Global Artificial Intelligence Enablers Index. You're right, a mouthful, but we get what it is. Terms, as I understand, there are going to be two of them. One will give me capital guarantee, one will give me enhanced upside. What are the details in that regard?
Yes, that is correct. So we've got two options. The first option is a 100% capital protected option that gives you the comfort that the capital is protected. And it offers 100% participation, which is a capital at risk, which is suitable for a higher risk appetite. And that option has some downside risk in the sense that if the index goes down by up to 40%, then your capital is at risk. But it offers the greater upside participation at 140%. So there's a lot more upside for it because it's geared to the upside.
Okay, the line went bad for a moment there, then get good again. So to confirm, the first one is you've got no gearing, but you've got 100% capital. I put X amount in, I get it back. The second one offers me some capital protection as long as it's not down by more than 40%.
40%.
Correct. And then it gives some enhanced gearing on the upside.
Yes, that is correct. So on the upside, it gives you some the gearing. So 140% participation on the upside. So you are geared, and then it gives you the downside exposure. Whereas the other one is 100% capital protected. There's no downside exposure for your product. Yeah.
Okay. So the investor can decide. It's a risk decision for the investor to make. Well, what is the duration? Because, of course, these are structured products. They have a term period. What is the duration of these two?
That is correct, Simon. The duration is 3.5 years.
Okay, so 3.5 years in there. So what is a minimum investment size for investors, and how long do they have? Obviously, this needs to be set and started at some point. What are deadlines in that regard and minimums?
Okay, the minimum is 25,000 rands, and the closing date is, so the investment, the note is currently open until the 28th of March. So the closing date is the 28th of March, and the date it's going to list on the JSE is the 11th of April.
You mentioned listing on the JSE. I mean, these are structured products. In the ideal world, I buy it, I hold it for the 3.5 year duration, and then depending which one I've purchased will depend on my payout profile. But you're saying listing on the JSE, this means I can get early exit if I need to, but there's always T's and C's around that in terms of the pricing, as I understand.
Yes, that is correct. So, because the product is listed on the JSE, there's daily liquidity because it's traded daily. And a client is able to exit earlier than the 3.5 year term. I do caution, though, that if a client exits before the end of the term, there could potentially be some losses that I experienced because of exiting the product earlier because of pricing as well. So, there is that option to exit earlier. It's just that it may come at a cost for the client.
That's important. If I'm exiting early, my capital guarantees, my enhanced returns, etc., they may fall away because those the
Correct.
Structure of the product really is designed for the 3.5 year duration.
That is correct. As a result, we say to clients, if you are someone who needs the money before the 3.5 years, you know upfront that you're going to need the money. Before the end of the 3.5 years, you may maybe look at something else. But if you're not looking to use this money for the next 3.5 years, understand that sometimes unforeseen circumstances happen. So, but if you know that you're not going to need this money for 3.5 years, then it's a great product to go into to ensure that you capitalize on the options that are provided.
Yeah, it's a good point. It's almost like an emergency exit. If something goes horribly wrong, you
Yes.
can. But in the ideal world, you want to do that 3.5 years. The important question, how do I buy it? I mean, obviously, I could get it through the Standard Bank stockbrokers. I imagine there must be ways for non-Standard Bank clients.
Yes. So for existing clients, they can access it via the online share trading account, and then they can access it directly by going to the app and logging in and signing in, signing up for the product. But for non-existing Standard Bank clients, we do offer the online share trading account, so they can sign up for their account and invest after signing up via that option. There are clients who already have existing stockbroking accounts with other businesses, so we also do allow them to actually they can sign up via those stockbroking businesses that they already signed up with. Yeah,
Okay, so speak to your
because we
stockbroker.
are able to trade and settle with any stockbroker.
Yeah, so speak to your financial advisor, speak to your stockbroker, or have a look on the
Yes.
platform if you're there. We'll leave it there as I kind of persuade Standard Bank. Appreciate the early morning time. That's it for today. Yesterday, we were reviewing the Budget 2025 Take 2 with Sinisha Pakrasami from Momentum Investments. We were kind of hoping it happened. It did happen, although it doesn't have, as Mateta pointed out, support of all of the Government of National Unity. And the ANC can maybe sneak it through, but it's going to require everyone else to vote on their side. We asked you if we'd get a VAT increase. Over half of you said yes, but a small one. That's what we got. A third said no, there are better ideas out there. The rest said yes, we will get the full 2%. Have your vote, have your say, LinkedIn and Twitter. This podcast is brought to you by Stanlib Asset Management. Invest in more certainty to navigate volatile market conditions. We're live every weekday morning on the MoneyWeb website and the app, 6:30 a.m. podcast just after 7. Thanks to my team, Eddie, Nobuchle, Nicole, to you for listening, my guests for their time. My name is Simon Brown. This is MoneyWeb Now. We'll chat again tomorrow. Benefits of financial education to the country as a whole.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb Now podcast, posted every weekday at 7 a.m. on moneyweb.co.za. MoneyWeb Now, on the money.